This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. New Orleans is below sea level. You know this. And certainly, if you were here this past August, you really know this. Almost a foot of rain fell over a couple hours, and parts of town were knee-deep in water.
The Sewerage and Water Board caught a lot of flack for this. People lost a lot of faith when they found out that the city's pumps and generators, things that were supposed to keep the city from flooding, were broken. We depend on these pumps. And this is what they sound like.
We're going to start the A pump, and I'll tell you right now that this is going to spin. All right, it's going to start a little bit of a jump, and then it's going to start to spin a little bit.
That's Joe Becker. He worked for the Sewage and Water Board for 30 years and was actually the superintendent. Becker retired last summer after the flood drama. You might have some feelings about him or the Sewage and Water Board, but Becker really knows his pumps. And that's what he's showing us right now.
You starting it now? Perfect.
He recently took me on a tour of pumping station number one, right in the neutral ground of Broad Street before it hits Washington Avenue. These are the pumps that keep the city from flooding during a big rain. They've been doing their job for over 100 years.
This is the wood screw pump.
The wood screw pump.
And there's no wood in it. It's not made out of wood or anything like that at all. This is named after the person who invented the design, A.B. Wood, A. Baldwin Wood.
Albert Baldwin Wood. That's our guy.
He basically was a loner. He liked being by himself.
That's Ralph Wood Pringle, Baldwin Wood's great-nephew.
He dressed in khaki pants most of the time with a khaki shirt. And I've never saw him wear anything other than that. He was not the average person. I mean, you could tell that by all the accomplishments he had.
Baldwin Wood grew up in New Orleans and stayed for college, Tulane Engineering. He couldn't help but invent stuff. There's a story I read while researching Wood about how he and a fellow classmate built a wireless walkie-talkie type thing so they could communicate between classrooms.
Wait, that's crazy. This is 1899, I thought.
Yeah, I know, and I'm still trying to figure out how to return things that I buy online, Travis.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Anyway, let's think about this year, 1899, for a second, okay? We're in the Progressive Era. William McKinley is president. Who even is that?
Lane, he was assassinated.
Oh, come on. You definitely looked that up. Don't even try.
You don't know that.
Yeah, whatever. Let's just stick to people that we both do know. Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag was on the radio. And there's widespread reform across the country. Everywhere, people are pushing their elected officials for new infrastructure to make their cities better. Parks, playgrounds, schools, trees. And in New Orleans, draining the swamp.
People literally feared and hated the back swamp.
Richard Campanella is a geographer at Tulane, and that back swamp is what we now call Lakeview, Gentilly, and Olive City Park. But in the 1890s, that was total swamplandia, which meant New Orleans' backyard was filled with mosquitoes, and with them, deadly waterborne illnesses, malaria, yellow fever, dengue, and so.
Everyone thought draining the back swamp was a good idea.
People had wanted to do this for years. Wanted, tried, and failed. Now, enter Baldwin Wood. He graduates from Tulane and goes to work for the brand spanking new Sewage and Water Board. He takes a look around at the existing drainage system and notices that the pumps are helping with some of the flooding issues, but they're no match for the back swamp. He's sure he can invent something better, faster, stronger. And a little over a decade later, he does. You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson.
And I'm Travis Lux.
Imagine a jet engine for water.
That's Richard Campanella again. We're talking about how Baldwin's pump actually works.
So this is kind of like a giant straw. You're just sucking it, using suction to pull it from a lower elevation over a ridge to a higher one, right?
Except that instead of your breath doing the lifting, it's this fast-speed impeller. The blades of the impeller...
Impeller, which looks kind of like a huge fan. When it rotates, it sucks up water from one place to another. In this case, from the lower ground to higher ground, so that the water can flow down into the lake. That's it. That's how the wood screw pump works. And Wood's pump could take on way more water per second than the other pumps.
You write that the wood screw pump is the single most dramatic transformation of the New Orleans cityscape.
The municipal drainage system. I think it's very easily defended. All you have to do is take a look at the urban footprint in 1890 and take a look at the footprint by the time the municipal drainage system had its full effects, which was only a few decades later. The city that you will see prior is essentially a crescent-shaped city. The city that
crescent-shaped because it's hugging the river. Like after Wood's pump hits the scene, the city spreads all the way from the river to the lake. And all this was possible because his pump was good enough to drain the back swamp, to turn all that soggy muck into dry land.
And people are thrilled. All those mosquitoes?
Gone.
All those diseases?
Gone.
Plus, the city's bigger. Developers love it. New neighborhoods pop up. And all this makes Wood, the inventor of this breakthrough wood screw pump design, famous. We'll get back to that later.
So this all sounds glorious, right? But there were some downsides. The wood screw pump was a blessing and a curse for the city of New Orleans. As most of us know now, when you pump the water out, the soil shrivels up and the land sinks. And the more we pump, the farther we sink. Subsidence. Richard Campanella.
This is not a normal condition. It is not a natural condition. So it's a package deal. If you love the neighborhoods that came out of it,
then you also have to recognize that these neighborhoods became bowls that could easily be filled with water.
But I don't think the engineers were thinking about the unintended consequences of these things.
Craig Colton is a geographer at LSU. He says subsidence is an unintended environmental consequence of Wood's pumps. But there were social impacts, too. As new neighborhoods opened up along the lakefront in the early 20th century, developers, with the sanction of city officials, kept African Americans from buying into them.
Basically, it created much more racial segregation, and areas that were the low areas that had been working class white neighborhoods became primarily black neighborhoods.
Like parts of Central City. And then all the new lakefront real estate
became a very white neighborhood. And so the racial geography of the city changed as the system went into place.
Craig says there were city agreements that prohibited black people from living in those new areas on the lakefront.
If you bought a piece of property there, the deed said you couldn't allow a black person to live in that house.
And this pattern of residential segregation, once it was established, would accelerate over the 20th century. And that's still evident today. That's why Craig is uncomfortable completely glorifying Wood's pumps.
We need to recognize that they were innovations, and that's entirely appropriate. But I think we need to look at them in their totality. What were the total range of contributions and influences?
Back to today. Well, almost today.
Streets flooded and impassable, cars stuck.
Then now, the city says seven.
There were two big floods in New Orleans this summer. One day in August, we had over 9 inches in a little less than 3 hours. That's more than the drainage system, a system built over 100 years ago, can handle. Former SWB Superintendent Joe Becker.
The drainage system that we have, while it's massive, what it can do is it can handle about a half an inch of rain per hour.
Actually, some people are questioning if that's even true at this point. It might be less, but even so.
If all the pumps were working, if all the power was generating power at its 100% effectiveness, as much as we could, we were going to have a flooding event from that because the pumps just can't keep up with that.
We know that climate change is already making those storms more intense and more common. So even if the pumps still do what they were built to do, is that enough? Craig Colton says no.
I think the fact that we're still relying on them so heavily and that we haven't begun a major overhaul of this system in over 100 years is really a sign of serious neglect. Those machines are taken care of with exquisite care. I mean, it's really remarkable to see how well maintained they are. But to continue relying on early 20th century technology in the 21st century when the landscape of the city has changed so much
doesn't cut it anymore.
How do we find ways to build adequate technology that will last us into the next century?
After Wood invented his wood screw pump in 1915, he became kind of famous. Cities around the world were asking him to visit them, especially the Netherlands. Dutch officials tried to organize a meeting with Wood at the request of the Queen of Holland. But get this, Wood refused to leave Louisiana. A Dutch engineer spokesman pleaded with Wood and wrote,
"Her Majesty's government wants you to supply pumps for Holland."
Wood wrote back,
"Yes, I understand. I'll be back Tuesday, but now I'm going fishing."
That's true. I remember Ralph Pringle saying his great uncle loved being on the water.
Yeah, and he loved New Orleans.
The city was home to him, I think, and his pumps actually allowed the city to be developed.
Then he lived long enough to see the city change so drastically because of his invention.
Right, he did. But he didn't discuss it, so I think he was proud of it, but I don't believe, to him, it was just something else that needed to be done.
Do you think he would say, like, "Hey guys, like, we need a new pump. Like, I know what I did was great, but like, why are we still doing this?"
He would have probably reinvented another pump himself. Oh, yes.
Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies at UNO. Special thanks to the New Orleans-based Weather and Climate Project, IC Change, for co-reporting some of this episode with us. They're creating a community record of recent storm events, and you can actually share your flooding stories and photos with them on icchange.org. So go check that out. It's really cool. Also, as always, special thanks to Evan Christopher for our opening theme music and to the entire Tripod editorial committee, as well as our Tripod editor, Eve Abrams. In the meantime, I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson.
And I'm Travis Lux. And I'll Tripod you later.
Ha ha ha.